to the Sutliffin Report. Today, I have a ton of information to share with you. We're going to be talking about things like the gay agenda in Loudoun County, Virginia. We're going to be talking about General Miley's testimony before Congress. The health secretary, the HHS secretary, bombed. He revealed how much he did not know and how he should not be in that position. As he was being grilled by Senator Rand Paul. You're going to hear a lot of incredible information today. But let's start, as this is a Christian news show, let's start with a reading from God's Word. Today we're reading 1 Corinthians 12 to 16. Chapter 2, 12 to 16. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. One of the great mysteries of man is how a Christian can read the Bible and see things when a non-believer can read it and appear clueless. I admit to seeing this quite a lot with those who like to debate against Christians or read it to claim knowledge. It is somewhat similar to a person with a learning disability not being able to catch inferences from written material. If stated out loud, they might catch it, but in written material, it does fly over their head, and that's something you see naturally in persons who are learning disabled. I'm a retired special ed teacher. I know that. They simply cannot see what others see. A non-believer in the wonder-working power of the blood of Jesus can read the Bible and totally not get what we see as being common sense, understanding from reading the Bible. In truth, the Holy Spirit reveals the truth to us. It is almost as if a layer of blindness needs to be ripped away in order to grasp what the Bible teaches. This light from the Word of God begins to be seen when a believer seeks to learn more about God from the Bible. The Word of God becomes attached to their hearts, and they begin as believers to lead better lives. They begin to see sin as sin and openly stand on what God has shared with them. Can you see this happening in your life as you read the Bible each day? Dear Lord Jesus, you are the God who does impossible things. You continue to work on me, and Lord, I ask continue to work on others that are, change us through the daily reading of your word and our time in prayer. Lord, make your word stay in our hearts. Help us to meditate on it and share it. Lord, use us. We are yours to use. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this week, I want to start with one of the most incredible things I did this week, which was I went to a protest this Monday at the University of Rochester. For those of you who don't know where I'm talking about, this is the University of Rochester in Rochester, New York. The University of Rochester is actually one of the most famous hospitals in the country. It's otherwise known as Strong Memorial Hospital. Strong Memorial Hospital if you're watching a show from the 1800s, and somebody goes to get important medical care, they're probably coming here. And that's the truth behind. And if you watched Little House on the Prairie, it was on there. I was amazed how many shows I watched where they mentioned the Strong Memorial Hospital. They mentioned the University of Rochester when I was a kid growing up in the 70s and 80s and younger. But I'm going to share for those people who are watching via Facebook. If you would like to watch on Facebook, you can go to Paul Sutliff on Facebook, or you can watch there, or you can go to the Sutliffian Report. And I have one other place. I've put this in another room, but those other rooms you have to join in. So I would recommend going to Paul Sutliff to see what I'm going to be sharing. I'm going to be sharing my screen. I'm going to be talking about it. But one of the most fascinating things I saw, I have to admit, which kind of still blows my mind. So I'm just going to share this. This is going to – I'm going to say it should show your mind. And I'm going to share my audio system. So hold on a second. Some of these things I'm going to share, they're just shocking. All right, I'm just going to hit refresh here. And I know that the people listening via Blog Talk Radio won't be able to hear the noise in a second. So I'm just going to have to, here we go. I just have to move this. Here we go. So on what's happening is I am at a conf at the University of Rochester, and at the University of Rochester, people are protesting them being thrown out of jobs, fired, or given a religious exemption that they call temporary. There was 1,000 people present. And the first thing I'm showing here is there was a bunch of scrubs put around a tree as a memorial to being told to get lost or you're fired because you will not get a jab. There were tons, and I mean, you see 1,000 people show up on one street. That is amazing. You know what surprised me was there is cops there. The cops were wonderful. The security from the University of Rochester were wonderful. There was a lot. There was nothing. Everybody there was in agreement. You know what was interesting? The vast, I'd say nearly 100% were Republican and nearly 100% were Christians. I say that because if you walk through this, you would know who people were by some of the things that they had with them and some of the things that they, their signs. It was shocking. I was impressed. Now, I'm just going to let this play. It's only going to go a little bit farther for you and you of our listening on. It was shocking to think about how strong this event was. Now, I'm going to go through a series of pictures I'm going to share on the screen. And for those of you, I don't know if you can hear this on radio, but it was kind of mind-numbing. The noise was loud. And I'm just going to cut the noise level because it was just so loud. It was kind of shocking. 1,000 people that came out to support those who were being threatened with the loss of their jobs after having served during what was called a pandemic. Now, if you get a chance to go support people who have stood up for you, have been there for you, you should do it. I do recommend this if you're having issues in your state like we are in ours. In New York State, the governor now, Kathy Hochul, has said, now this is the part that bothers me the most, she has said that your exemptions are temporary because she basically has said that your religion is, it is false. It's crazy. I mean, I'm amazed when I see that they're calling your religious exemption temporary. I've turned off the sound when if you're listening. The reason I have is just because there's so many cars honking. From the time I started there, this started around 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock. If you go to, if you live in the Rochester area, the Monroe County, New York area, my suggestion is you join these people on this Monday. There was 1,000 last week. There was 500 the week before. This has been doubling in size every week. So it went from 200 to 400 to about 500. And then we're at now this past week, this Monday, we were at 1,000. I used to count for church and things like that, and I'm pretty good at estimating, and I was just kind of amazed when I saw this. Some of these things I just thought were hilarious. There's a guy who had a sign. That's he wore a shirt that said, "I support full facial nudity. Unmask America." I thought that was beautiful. I think maybe we're going to have a new group start up called Smile. It's going to be a huge rebellion, simply calling it Smile. A man had a poster called "Freedom to Choose, Stop the Vaccine Mandate." And let's keep going here. Many people were just... it was just, like I said, there were hundreds and there was 1,000 people here, and they were just here to support at Rochester, the University of Rochester, support those who were losing their jobs because they think the jab is dangerous. I agree with them. You're going to see us. I'm going to come up with a sign. You're going to see that they had there on that quoted VAERS data. And I think that's incredibly important to discuss. VAERS data is some of this stuff is just shocking material. There's a guy who had a sign, I never thought I'd ever live in a communist country. Well, if your choices are taken away, what are you left with? Communism, dictatorships. This was amazing. I don't know if you're aware how big the University of Rochester is to Monroe County. In Monroe County, New York State, it is the largest employer. Now, that says something when a university is the largest employer. One of the other things I saw at this place over and over again were signs that said, my body, my choice. I guess you're not allowed to say that anymore if you're talking about something that goes against their agenda. There was a woman that worked at the University of Rochester. She had a religious exemption. And we were talking. I'd ask these people if you were safe. And she said, yes, we're safe, but it's temporary. I said, you have a religious exemption and it's temporary? And she's like, yeah, they don't think that is our faith is permanent. And I just kind of sat there shocked. How can anyone say that? The other thing I have here I'm looking at is a screen that says there's three signs here, and they were just all over. These signs were all over. Vaccines known to cause seizures, encephalitis, autoimmunity issues. Vaccine makers are exempt from liability. Vaccines are made with aborted fetal tissues. These are some of the things that were in the signs. I went around and I took pictures of signs, people holding signs. Like I said, there was 1,000 people here. That was something to see. A big thing they talked about was anti-medical tyranny. This was, to me, shocking that we have to think about this today in a world that I'm just shocked to think that this has to be done today. There were medical professionals carrying signs. We will not comply. Everywhere there were flag waving, people carrying signs, freedom to choose, buy local, cut out their lifeblood. There's a gentleman with myfaithvotes.org, hey, home of the brave. There was just, again, 1776 was a huge thing that there were, you know, they had flags. It was just unbelievable. One was a sign that said mandate is murder. You know, I'm not too off on that belief. I met someone I knew. He was carrying a sign that said, I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery. It's a quote from Thomas Jefferson, who said this to James Madison, January 30th in 1787. On the back of this sign, he had the only thing necessary for triumph is evil. For triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. That's from Edmund Burke. Again, back in the 1700s, you have to think about, I mean, the importance. This is one of the things that we refer back to when we think about how the Holocaust survived. Well, good men doing nothing. Are we in that situation today? I tend to believe we are. It's time to stand up. There's an organization. I mean, there was three or four men out here together hanging out in this. And one of their signs said, we say no to illegal mandation. My body, my choice. Another one had URMC, now University of Rochester Medical Center. Instead, it said unfair, relentless medical coercion. Now, that was good use of play of words. There was a ton of signs. Dr. Fauci wanted for crimes against humanity now. Follow the money. FDA approval was a business. Yes, that's actually factual. Can prove it. You can watch the money. It's actually, you can see it. There was a big sign, like a flag type thing that said, when tyranny becomes law, rebellion becomes duty. I love that one. Tons and tons of cars and honking their horns and supporting, and it was something to see. And again, the security professionals were out there, the policemen were out there in support of the protesters. Security was out there doing their job, but they realized there was nothing that was, you know, these protesters aren't violent. They're not like these Black Lives Matter imaginary protesters. They weren't holding a protest. They were holding a riot. We did a protest. I loved being in the presence of these people. It was exciting. Let me just read some of the other signs. Vaccine makers are exempt from liability. Again, CDC is not law. VAERS, this is the one I thought was, should be out there. And this guy stood in the middle of the road at some point. One point I caught him and he had this sign that said VAERS, 14,925 dead, 1,519,354 adverse reactions. Now, VAERS, there are that say VAERS is only 1%. Now, that would mean there was 150 million adverse reactions. That would mean there was 1,500,000 dead. That's what that would mean if that's 1%. Again, the CDC states that VAERS data is only 1% of actual reporting. Again, of what's actually true, only 1% is reported. That just blows your mind. There was a sign, Dictator Hochul, you are to blame for medical worker shortages. Another man had a sign, I am not an experiment. Marxism has no home here. That was a kid with that one. There is no health crisis. Communism mandates slavery. My body, my choice. Firing nurses over a shot during a nursing shortage pandemic. That really makes sense, right? I was just amazed. There were families out here, whole families. Medical freedom is a fundamental right. Last year's hero, this year's unemployed. I was amazed. Again, the work here was that the people all came together incredibly well, and they did a great job sharing and standing up, making noise. University of Rochester should be ashamed of itself for following unscientific mandates. That's what it comes down to. They're saying they have to obey the law or get fined. Well, if you take someone to court for telling you to do something unconstitutional, you're going to win. And that's what it comes down to. And we have cowardly people afraid to stand up. There's a man with a sign that said, U of R, stop rigid mandates, kill trust. They're killing trust in public health. I was just amazed. There was a guy with an eagle head, a bald eagle head, my body, my choice. And he was walking with a friend. It was just powerful. Children there with signs like, show me your smile. So another man looked like our dad had a sign, if it's forced, are we really free? They're lying to you about Jabberdoo. The Nuremberg Code protects us from experimental drugs. We have your back. You stab us in ours. Inaction is a weapon of mass destruction. Medical mandates are unethical nonsense. The people that were here was just incredibly impressive. Another one, our rights are from God, government, hospitals, business cannot take them. No mandates. Breaking news, the vaccines aren't working. Neither are masks, neither are lockdowns. Last year's heroes, this year's unemployed. Frontline to fired. There was a view of our sign to your loyal, hardworking faculty and staff. You're fired, basically. Sad. Does this look like voluntary resignation? And it's an interesting point. I mean, they're basically firing them, and then they're not telling them they're fired. They're saying you're terminated. That's the same thing. But, again, one man had a Halloween sign. It said, this Halloween I'm going as unvaccinated. Stop the mandate. Pray with us was one sign. Medical freedom, no forced vaccines. COVID-19 slow kill shots. Our kids are not guinea pigs. There was just so many people. One was just wait. Don't be coerced. It can't be reversed. He also had on the sign, did the 2019/20 flu shots contain graphene oxide? He has a lot of questions, and I talked to him a little bit. It was interesting. You have to pay attention. Bring on the Nuremberg trials, another sign. When you sit here and you look at, I mean, there was more than one person with numbers from theirs. I was just kind of this number, I'm just going to read a couple numbers on this side. It said 66,642 hospitalization. Again, if you count that as 1%, that is not 6,600. That is 6,600,000. All right. You have to consider there's two zeros that should be put after these. If VAERS data is 1% of reporting. So these signs, I mean, they were reporting right off the CDC site. That's the important things to think about. There were pictures of, would you have complied in 1930 Germany, genocide against humanity? There's pictures of Fauci with the Hitler's mustache, scare them into submission, profit from the panic, holding the world hostage with fear and paranoia. Fauci lied, people died. One man had a sign, Fauci, he wore a shirt, Fauci is not my doctor, and he carried a sign, no mandatory vaccine. There was a lot of people just out there. One woman, 23 years, an RN, terminated. It was just, I mean, if you sat here and watched this, you would be shocked seeing all this information. It was incredible. Now I'm just going to stop sharing so people watching the video can understand. I am back. I saw this stuff and I was just amazed when to see there and be there and to have a chance to be supportive. Now I want to share with you something that I just heard today. Now, I do a lot of reading and listening. Now, this one is Secretary Xavier Becerra. He was grilled by Rand Paul on this very COVID-19. If this doesn't shock you, I don't know what will. But what really got me about this is, you know, when I sat there listening to this, what got me is here I am listening to Rand Paul drill this guy. And I listened to when they had taken Becerra and they were deciding whether he had what it took to be to even come close to representing the country and to be Health and Human Service Secretary, they realized he had no academic credentials. Why on earth someone should be over a science field with no academic credentials is beyond me. But that becomes important. So I'm just going to get this ready, and I'm just going to start it off, and then I'll quickly start it in Blog Talk Radio. And here we go. In Blog Talk Radio, here we go. Where are you? Health and Human Services.
With an Israeli study that had 2.5 million patients and found that the vaccinated group was actually 7 times more likely to get infected with COVID than the people who had gotten COVID naturally.
Senator, I'd have to get back to you on that one. I'm not familiar with that study.
Well, you think you might want to be if you're going to travel the country insulting the millions of Americans, including NBA star Jonathan Isaac, who have had COVID, recovered, look at a study with 2.5 million people and say, well, you know what? It looks like my immunity is as good as a vaccine or not. And in a free country, maybe I ought to be able to make that decision. Instead, you've chosen to travel a country calling people like Jonathan Isaac and others, myself included, flat earthers. We find that very insulting, goes against the science. Are you a doctor or a medical doctor?
I've worked over 30 years on health policy.
You're not a medical doctor. Do you have a science degree? And yet you travel the country calling people flat earthers who have had COVID, looked at studies of millions of people, and made their own personal decision that their immunity they naturally acquired is sufficient. But you presume somehow to tell over 100 million Americans who have survived COVID we have no right to determine our own medical care. You alone are on high, and you've made these decisions, a lawyer with no scientific background, no medical degree. This is an arrogance coupled with an authoritarianism that is unseemly and un-American. You, sir, are the one ignoring the science. The vast preponderance of scientific studies, dozens and dozens, show robust, long-lasting immunity after COVID infection. Even the CDC does not recommend measles vaccine if you have measles immunity. The same was true for smallpox. But you ignore history and science to shame the flat earthers, as you call them. You should be ashamed of yourself and apologize to the American people for being dishonest about naturally acquired immunity. You want more people to choose vaccination? So do I. You want to lessen vaccine hesitancy? So do I. You want to have that happen? Quit lying to people about naturally acquired immunity. Quit lording it over people, acting as if these people are deplorable and unwashed. Try persuasion instead of government cudgels. Try humility instead of arrogance. Try freedom instead of coercion. But most of all, try understanding that there's no more basic medical right than deciding what we inject into our bodies. Today, after hearing that millions of people in a study show without a doubt that there's a great deal of immunity from getting it naturally, do you want to apologize to the 100 million Americans who suffered through COVID, survived, have immunity, and yet you want to hold them down and vaccinate them? Do you want to apologize for calling those people flat earthers?
Senator, I appreciate your question and appreciate that everyone has their opinion. We follow the facts and the science at HHS. We use the expertise of the medical professionals, the scientists at HHS to make decisions. It's a team effort, and we rely on what is on the ground showing us results.
Except for the dozens and dozens of studies. In fact, most, if not all, of the studies show robust immunity from getting the disease naturally. The CDC says if you've had measles and have immunity, you don't have to be vaccinated. The same was true of smallpox. You're selectively doing this because you want us to submit to your will. You have no scientific background, no scientific degrees, and yet you aren't really concerned about 100 million Americans who had the disease. You just want to tell us, do as you're told. That's what you're telling us. You want to mandate this on all of us. You're going to tell us if I have 100 employees, you're going to put me out of business with a $700,000 fine if I don't obey what you think is a science. Don't you understand that it's presumptuous for you to be in charge of all the science? Have you ever heard of a second opinion? I can't go to my doctor and ask my doctor's opinion. I mean, this is incredibly arrogant combined with this authoritarian nature that you think, well, we'll just tell all of America to do what I say and they better, or we'll fine them or put them in jail or not let them go to school or not let them travel. The science is against you on this. The science is clear. Naturally acquired immunity is as good as a vaccine. The Israel study actually showing it better. This isn't an argument against the vaccine, but it's an argument for letting people make a decision who already have immunity. You're not willing to consider natural immunity?
Senator, our team has reviewed every study that's out there on COVID, whether it's from Israel, from the U.S., or wherever else. They have used the facts that have been provided through the rigorous research that's been done to reach a conclusion. 660,000 Americans and more have died because of COVID. We're trying to do everything we can to save as many as possible. We're using the facts, we're following the science, and following the law.
Nobody's arguing the severity of this, but you are completely ignoring the science on natural immunity. So's Fauci, so's the whole group. You're just ignoring it because you want submission. You want everybody just to submit to your will, do as you're told, despite the evidence, the large body of scientific evidence that says naturally acquired immunity does work, is an important part of how we're all going to recover from this. So is the vaccine. But when you add them together, we're at a much different place than if you ignore them. 100 million Americans, by conservative CDC estimates, have had the disease. 200 million or more now have been vaccinated. It's a good thing. Combined together, it's how the disease is. Nobody wants to get the disease. We're not advising anybody to get the disease. But if you're unlucky enough to get it, think of the nurses and doctors and orderlies who all bravely took care of COVID patients. There was no vaccine for a year and a half. They took care of people, risked their lives. They got it, survived, And now people like you are arrogant enough to say, you can no longer work in the hospital because you've already had the disease. We're going to force you to take a vaccine that the science does not prove is better
audio
than
to catch
required.
Up.
That's an arrogance that should be chastened.
So I want you to think about, Rand Paul really revealed that we have a true incompetence in the executive wing, where we have somebody presiding over a field of science without any science credentials and no experience to do the things he's really doing, which to me is kind of scary. So on to, you know, staying on this topic of COVID-19, I don't know if you're aware, but there was a news story that came out through PJ Media. Robert Spencer wrote this. A 95% vaccinated Harvard Business School suspends in-person classes. This is just crazy. 95% vaccinated Harvard Business School suspends in-person classes after COVID outbreak. 28th is just 2 days ago. How many stories like this are there going to be before political and media elites admit that maybe these vaccines don't really work, at the very least don't work nearly as well as have been anticipated? CBS News reported Monday that Harvard Business School is reverting to remote learning after beginning the semester with in-person classes, citing a rise in breakthrough. Again, it's breakthrough if somebody with a vaccine gets it. Then they might call it Delta if they're not calling it breakthrough. Huh. Could it be that maybe these vaccination claims, again, they're calling it a vaccination when it didn't meet the legal definition of vaccination? That's important to understand. They changed the definition of vaccination to allow gene therapy to be included in it. So if we go back to the original definition, these are not vaccinations. See, this is all wordplay. And I want you to think about that. This school... it's 95% vaccinated and they're having a breakout. And, you know, that's the thing that's happening across wherever they're finding large amounts of the vaccinated. There is a breakout of COVID. Now, either their vaccines do the job or they don't. And that's, you know, real scientists should be the ones asking these questions. However, the ones getting the publicity is controlled by the media, and they're not allowing that information to get out. My suggestion, go to Frontline Doctors, the site, and start looking at the information they have. It is shocking. It is revealing. It will blow your mind. I have next at my big thing that I wanted to cover today, and I was going to have it make the first front news, but I did want to talk about the U of R first. And I did want to share the other stuff that I knew that was happening in today's news about COVID-19. So with that said, I want to share an audio. I'm going to share only on StreamYard through Facebook, which this there's a German politician. He's a member of parliament, Sven Trischler. Now, I'm going to play this for the audience over StreamYard, but I am not going to play it for us, and there's a reason I'm not, because it is so much. It is just so much. I'm going to just simply read it for our guys, and it'll blow your mind. So here we go. I'm just going to go straight to the page. I'm going to blow it up, and I'm going to mute myself. Oops, let me mute myself on their side. And what I'm going to share I'm going to read it to the listeners on Black Talk Radio. This will just blow your mind. Come on. All right, here we go. He said, Madam President, ladies and gentlemen, the Green Party could not have made it clearer than with this motion as to what Germany will be facing following the upcoming national elections. They want to open the door wide to anyone who is attracted to our country and currently using the situation in Afghanistan as the hook. The Green Party creates the impression that we, again, the German people, owe this country something. Why? We didn't install the Taliban. They came to power before our presence in Afghanistan decades ago. Since 2001, the German taxpayer has dumped at least 20 billion euros into the Hindu Kush. But not only that, several dozen German soldiers have lost their lives there, the youngest being just 21 years old. Honestly, I think it is sad that none of the previous speakers mentioned a word about that, ladies and gentlemen. Others came home mentally and physically crippled. I'm familiar with what such a mission can do to a young person. He says, I myself took part in such a mission, even if it was comparably harmless in Bosnia. But it doesn't end there. We gave the Afghan government an army. We trained it and equipped it. Again, they were part of that. The United States did a lot. Nominally, the force was far superior to the Taliban. What did the soldiers do with the slightest sign of danger? They ran away or they defected. No, ladies and gentlemen, our country owes Afghanistan nothing. Actually, it is the other way around. Afghanistan is right back where it was before our soldiers came. That's exactly where an overwhelming majority of the population obviously wants to be. According to a recent survey, 99% of Afghans support Sharia law. 85% want stoning for unlawful wives. 79% in favor of killing apostates. The attitude towards Jews and homosexuals is obvious there. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what they want to bring to Germany by the hundreds of thousands. We, the AfD, are the only party that says, no, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We hope we could help these people better in their neighboring countries where they fit in better culturally, but not in Germany. Something very significant among the people we have flown out is that less than 20% were even so-called local staff. Among them were 20 criminals, including a child molester. But, oh, well, he's here now, ladies and gentlemen, and he will soon be loose again. Thank you. Thank you, dear SPD. It is well known that we cannot integrate these people en masse into our society, for they form parallel societies. They originate from an archaic tribal society, and they do not belong here. So before any outrage explodes here, no, this has nothing to do with race. Allow me to quote from Helmut Schmidt, someone who led SPD before 25% was considered success. Immigration from Afghanistan brings with it considerable problems. It is different civilization, not due to their different genes, not because of their different ancestry, but because of the way they were raised as infants, the way they were raised as toddlers, the way they were raised as school children, the way they were raised as children within families, end of quote. And we don't need these people either. They aren't skilled workers, at least not for what is needed in Germany. The so-called shortage of skilled workers is a fairy tale told by migration lobbyists and business associations who want to decrease wage levels in Germany. Do you know what the skilled worker shortage used to be called? It was called full-time employment, and that's a good thing, especially for employees. Ladies and gentlemen, they can't negotiate any better. So what are the so-called middle class doing in this situation? As we've just heard, they're being a bit coy. After all, there's an election campaign. They're ducking out of the way. And, of course, they're against these demands from the Green Party. But how credible is that, really? In Cologne, one of the cities with the most expensive rents in Germany, the CDU, the FDP, the Left Party, the Greens, and the SPD have just united in calling for more migration from Afghanistan using the nice argument that we have room. Gerhard Popke, who was until recently was the vice president for the FDP here in the state of parliament, and for years its parliamentary group leader, tweeted yesterday, I quote, after 16 years of Merkel, the Union, and FDP have apparently completely capitulated to the agenda of the political left. Even with its back to the wall, the CDU avoids the issue of migration like the devil, resists the holy water, even though immigration from Afghanistan mercifully exposes the problems, end quote. Well, dear CDU, dear FDP, you have something in common with the Afghan army. You surrender without fighting. Obviously, you're not really convinced by your own words. Fortunately, you no longer have a monopoly. Citizens can now vote for us. The AfD will promise you one thing. There will be no new 2015, which is a reference to mass migration of Muslims into Germany, with us, even after the federal election. We therefore reject the motion, and he says, thank you very much. and just waiting for the video to catch up. All right. And I just need to escape out of this. All right. And get back to my screen so I can see. Now, what I'm telling you is stuff that's just happening. Nuremberg trials, yes, of World War II. Thank you. Nuremberg trials, and there are Nuremberg Code. There's two different things. I cannot see your name, unfortunately. The Nuremberg Code was made afterwards to prevent the Nuremberg Code that we're I got to get the sound up. Okay. The Nuremberg Code is different than the Nuremberg trials. Nuremberg Code was written to prevent the incredible, insane medical nastiness that happened during Nazi Germany. So it was supposed to prevent human experimentation. That's what it was supposed to be. Yes, the trials, the stuff that's happening is just mind-numbing. Thank you for commenting. When I saw all this stuff, I keep thinking of the stuff that I actually write about and do. Now, I actually published this, and if you want to see more of this, I say go to Rare Foundation. rarefoundation.org, I believe it is, or .com. Rare Foundation also has videos on, you can go to 3speak.tv or 3speak.online and search for Rare Foundation, R-A-I-R Foundation. They do excellent work. I've met the people that are involved with Rare Foundation. Personally, I have to say they're great people. If we can, in any way, please do financially support them. I do want to talk about something that happened here or could have happened here next. Now, this was a shock to me that I didn't know it, and I try to keep up on everything. But there was an affidavit that came out this week. It's a federal affidavit by FBI Special Agent William Lopez. And in the affidavit, he reveals he reveals some stuff that you just sit there and go, wow. Let me get into this. This is just like I say, wow. So on September 22nd, 2021, at approximately 21:10, which is 9:10 in the evening, a Transportation Security Administration assistant, federal security director, contacted your affiant and reported an incident on JetBlue Flight 261. JetBlue Flight 261 was scheduled to depart from Boston with a final arrival at San Juan, in Puerto Rico. The incident involved an unruly passenger who had been physically restrained by flight crew members in response to a physical altercation during the passenger's attempt to gain access to the flight deck. Are you catching this? Now, see, now the flight decks are now, they have to go get locked before flight and they can unlock after flight. All right. They are reinforced doors. You're not going through that without pretty much a bomb these days. That's good for all people who are flying. Now, this guy was fighting to get in. Let me keep going here. This will blow your mind. Again, on September 22nd, this happened. Now, at about 10 o'clock, they interviewed the JetBlue flight attendant who was assigned to the Boston flight crew. The flight attendant reported that on the 22nd at about 5:04 in the evening, JetBlue Flight 261 departed Boston with a final arrival at San Juan. Passenger Khalil El Dar was assigned to seat 6A. He was permitted to sit in 6C for more space. Approximately 1 hour and 10 minutes prior to arrival in San Juan, El Dar attempted to make a telephone call and became angry about the call's unsuccess. Approximately 45 minutes prior to final arrival at San Juan, El Dar pulled himself out of his seat, rushed toward the flight deck, yelling to be shot in Spanish language. The JetBlue flight attendant physically redirected El Dar into the area in front of the front row before the galley. As the JetBlue flight attendant had Eldar corralled in the area before the galley, on the right side of the plane, a flight crew officer opened the cockpit door. Eldar observed the door open and then grabbed JetBlue flight attendant by their collar and tie with one hand while using the other hand to grab the overhead compartment to gain leverage to kick. JetBlue flight attendant was kicked in the chest. Eldar yelled for the flight crew officer to shoot him. While Eldar was yelling, he was still holding the JetBlue flight attendant by their tie. This resulted in the tie tightening and ultimately prevented the JetBlue flight attendant from breathing. In response, the JetBlue flight attendant released Eldar to loosen the tie to prevent from being choked and incapacitated. The JetBlue flight attendant was then able to loosen the tie and grab hold of Eldar to prevent him from unsuccessfully breaching the galley area and access to the flight deck. The struggle continued until six or seven flight crew members were able to restrain Eldar using makeshift restraints, which included JetBlue flight attendant's tie around Eldar's ankles, seatbelt extenders around Eldar's torso, and Eldar was moved to the rear of the plane and restrained to a seat until the flight continued. A second JetBlue flight attendant stated that JetBlue Flight 261 had an unruly passenger. I mean, I want you to think about that. Can you imagine being on a flight with someone putting up and doing this? I'm going to say some of this stuff is sometimes more shocking. Again, what do we have? What do we know about this man? We know that he is a follower of Islam. My belief is that it's possible he doesn't know any Arabic. Do know from his name that he is a follower of Islam. So this stuff, I mean, it's just kind of mind-numbing. And, of course, that probably didn't make the news. And there's reasons why you don't think about being under threat of attack when you're on your way to Puerto Rico, do you? But that is now a possible. Think about it. This week, the New York Post reported the FBI was reporting an assault on female service members by Afghan, quote, refugees. Now, these people were made refugees by the United States. So my question is, are they legally refugees if the United States removes you from your country? If you read the definition of refugee, the fact that they're outside the country is just crazy. Again, I don't know if they are legally refugees when the United States brings them outside the country. I just want to read this article. It says the FBI confirmed Friday that it is investigating a report that a female service member was assaulted by a group of male Afghan refugees who are being housed at Fort Bliss. In a statement to Fox News, officials said the service member had reported that the assault took place on September 19th at the Fort Dona Ana Range complex in New Mexico, where the refugees are being, again, the Afghans are being put up. The allegations seriously and appropriately referred to the matter to the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the statement read. The safety and well-being of our service members, as well as those on installations, is paramount. An FBI spokesman confirmed to the Post last Friday that the Bureau had received a referral from Fort Bliss, and the FBI El Paso office is investigating the allegation. The report comes after two Afghan refugees were indicted by a federal grand jury in Wisconsin in connection with alleged crimes committed while they were staying at Fort McCoy in Wisconsin. Let's talk about what those crimes are. This will blow your mind. Arula Nuri, 20, was accused of engaging in a sex act with a minor on three separate occasions at the facility and attempting to engage in a sex act with another minor. Muhammad Haroon Imad, 32, was accused of assaulting his wife, who alleged to military authorities that her husband repeatedly struck their children, raped her, and threatened to send her back to Afghanistan where the Taliban could deal with her. In the aftermath of the evacuation from Afghanistan, officials have raised concerns that temporary housing facilities for refugees could become a hunting ground for sex criminals. Republican lawmakers have also raised concerns the Biden administration has allowed Afghans with criminal records or ties to terror groups to be flown out of the war-torn country, while thousands of others who assisted U.S.-led NATO forces during the 20 years against the Taliban led to fend for themselves in hostile territory. So they didn't do any security checks is what the real issue is here. They didn't do one security check before letting all these people on. So the thousands of people who should have come home, should have been allowed to come here, they didn't get on the plane. That by itself should be mind-numbing to you. And this is, again, another article. It's crazy. Let me keep going. Again, it is shocking. It is abhorrent. Another article out, I should say, there's a video I'm going to share, another video I'm going to share, and I will play that for both the BTR and for you here on listening in Facebook. This next one I caught from MRCTV. I love MRCTV, and I don't know if you do, but I definitely do. Now, that's Media Research Center, and what they do is some incredible, incredible work. Well, one of their employees lives in Loudoun County, Virginia, and he's fighting the gay agenda there in Loudoun County. They heard he was coming, and they tried to keep him from speaking. So he moved to the area, and they created a rule to try and keep him from speaking because he was speaking against their gay agenda. So I'm going to play this for you. I think it's very, very important. If you are a Christian, this stuff should shock you. All right. Here we go. And open and play. Joy of having everything up at the same time is not easy to get. And let's try and get it going for here. Here we go.
Hi, this is Gabriel Hayes with MRCTV, and I'm here with Loudoun County resident and Daily Wire commentator Matt Walsh. He's here hosting a rally in opposition to the Loudoun County School Board's LGBT transgender policies as well as their CRT policies. Why is it important that you're here today, just fighting this fight?
Mm-hmm. Because parents' rights matter, children matter, the safety of our children matters, the truth matters. And we can't just feed all those things to school districts and school boards and let them decide what our kids are going to be taught, what values are going to be instilled in them, and ultimately, you know, the fate and direction of the country. So that's what this is about. It's about parents and families and just citizens exerting some control, exerting their own rights. I think it's a really fantastic new trend. I hope it continues.
Mm-hmm, exactly, as do I. I was wondering about some of the policies specifically. I know recent transgender policies were enacted. I think officially Loudoun County schools are enabling people of whatever gender they want it to be to go into various bathrooms, and everyone's got to respect their pronouns, correct?
Yeah. We're opening up the locker rooms and bathrooms to any gender whatsoever, to either gender, I should say, because there's only two. And, you know, if that puts girls in a position where they're unsafe, I guess that's too bad for them. That's the position of the school board. And then beyond that, yeah, the teachers are being told that they have to affirm whatever gender a child says they are, even if it's not correct.
I would thank you all for allowing me to speak to you tonight, but you tried not to allow it, yet here I am. Now, you only give us 60 seconds, so let me get to the point. You are all child abusers. You prey upon impressionable children and indoctrinate them into your insane ideological cult, a cult which holds many fanatical views, but none so deranged as the idea that boys are girls and girls are boys. By imposing this vile nonsense on students to the point even of forcing young girls to share locker rooms with boys, you deprive these kids of safety and privacy and something more fundamental too, which is truth. If education is not grounded in truth, then it is worthless. Worse, it is poison. You are poison. You are predators. I can see why you try to stop us from speaking. You know that your ideas are indefensible. You silence the opposing side because you have no argument. You can only hide under your beds like pathetic little gutless cowards, hoping we shut up and go away. But we won't. I promise you that. Thank you for your time, and I'll talk to you again very, very soon.
If a little boy says, I'm a girl, then the teachers, who are supposed to be in the business of education is all about imparting truth, the teachers have to affirm that falsehood, which means that we're abandoning truth in the education system, and there's no point of education without truth. So we're really undermining the very essence of education itself, I think.
And I remember in the event advertised for this rally, you had called these policies child abuse. Can you justify that claim for me?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly child abuse. We're, you know, number one, we're taking basic privacy and safety away from kids in the locker rooms and bathrooms. I mean, what they're saying is that a girl has to go into a locker room and get undressed in front of a guy, or tolerate as a boy undresses in front of her. And if she doesn't like it, then she can leave, but that's the only redress she has. I would certainly call that abusive. It's also, on a deeper level, it's psychologically abusive that we're, you know, when a child is confused about who they are, their basic identity, the correct thing is to lovingly correct them, to affirm them in the truth. But when you just leave them to stew in their confusions and their delusions, then you're creating an identity crisis that may last forever and could have devastating consequences, psychological and physical, down the road.
Yeah. No, I mean, a young child has an imagination that can go anywhere, so why would you trust them with any of those big decisions? So.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, the examples everyone always gives that I think are really relevant here, I mean, I've got a four-year-old, one minute he's a velociraptor, the next minute he's Superman, and so on and so forth, because kids don't have especially that age, don't have a firm grasp on reality. They don't really know what reality is. They can't differentiate reality from fiction. And so the idea that we should take them seriously in their pronouncements about their gender is just farcical, I think.
Right. And on a lighter note, I know that the Loudoun County School Board had recently made tightened restrictions on who's allowed to come speak at the school board. Now, I was just wondering if the fact that you are a new Virginia, Loudoun County resident, is that coincidental?
Yeah, it is. It's really just incidental. Just like them changing the rules before I showed up was really a coincidence, they said. In a similar way, coincidentally, I just happened to decide this week to fulfill my lifelong dream of becoming a Loudoun County resident. And it all kind of lined up in a way. It's written in the stars, I guess, that
beautiful.
Now I can speak at the school board.
Yeah. So. Is it as nice as Tennessee? I am tempted by Nashville.
You know, I've only been here for a day, but I feel like I've been here my whole life, and I just feel right at home.
It's something in the air.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
There is it.
Yeah. Do you plan on moving back up here for any subsequent school board meetings?
I guess it depends on which school board meeting I want to speak at next, and there may be more coincidences where I have to become a resident of, who knows? You know, I'm kind of sort of a nomad at this point, wandering across the land, harassing school boards.
Well, we look forward to having you in the future.
Yeah.
Anyways, thank you for your time, and God bless you and your hard work. Thank you.
Sadly, the video did not work as well as I would like, and it's a little behind, unfortunately. So sometimes life works the way you want it, and sometimes it doesn't. And in the middle of all this, I worried that everything would shut down because all of a sudden things were not working. So I did skip one thing I want to go back to. And I apologize for doing this a little out of the order I normally would. One of the things that just happened recently was General Miley was giving testimony. Now, I have to say, this was shocking testimony. It reveals incompetence at levels that are unconscionable. I have stated that this was a planned fiasco. I believe that more so now today than ever before. My reasoning is simply that the generals did what they wanted, and they did not inform the civilian known as the President of the United States of much until they had already made decisions. That's what it appears. That's why I say this was a planned fiasco, and it does fall squarely at the feet of General Miley. Now, I'm going to set this up in StreamYard and, again, hope this works. It didn't necessarily work the way I wanted it to last time. We will see. you can only do what you can do. This is shocking. Here we go. And I'll get this up on BTR. Miley, here we go.
Thank you. General Milley, it's your testimony that you recommended 2,500 troops approximately stay in Afghanistan?
As I've said many times before this committee and other committees, I don't share my personal recommendations to the president, but I can tell you my personal opinion and my assessment if that's what you want.
Yes, please.
Yes, my assessment was back in the fall of 20, and it remained consistent throughout, that we should keep a steady state of 2,500, and it could bounce up to 3,500, maybe something like that, in order to move toward a negotiated, gated solution.
Did you ever present that assessment personally to President Biden?
I don't discuss exactly what my conversations are with the sitting president in the Oval Office, but I can tell you what my personal opinion was, and I'm
okay.
always candid.
General McKenzie, do you share that assessment?
Senator, I do share that assessment.
Did you ever present that opinion personally to President Biden?
Again, I'm not going to be able to comment on those executive discussions.
Did General Miller ever present that opinion personally to President Biden?
I think it would be best to ask him. I believe that his opinion was well heard.
Secretary Austin, President Biden last month in an interview with George Stephanopoulos said that no military leader advised him to leave a small troop presence in Afghanistan. Is that true?
Senator Cotton, I believe that, well, first of all, I know the president to be an honest and forthright man. Secondly,
it's a simple question, Secretary Austin. He said no senior military leader advised him to leave a small troop presence behind. Is that true or not? Did these officer and General Miller's recommendations get to the president personally?
Their input was received by the president and considered by the president, for sure. In terms of what they specifically recommended, Senator, they just, as they just said, they're not going to provide what they recommended in confidence.
I mean, it sounds to me, it's shocking to me. It sounds to me like maybe their best military advice was never presented personally to the President of the United States about such a highly consequential matter. Let me move on to another recommendation they are reported to have made. General Milley, Joe Biden has said that it was the unanimous recommendation of the Joint Chiefs that we not maintain a military presence beyond August 31st. We've heard testimony to that effect today as well. When was that unanimous recommendation sought and presented to the president?
You're talking about the 31 August?
Yes, the 31 August deadline
so,
for getting
on. So on 25 August, I was asked to make an assessment and provide best military advice on...
I'm sorry, my time is limited here. Okay. You gave me the answer that I needed to hear. August 25th?
That's correct.
Kabul fell on August 15th.
That's correct.
You were not asked before August 25th?
16th. On August 25th, I was asked to provide best military assessment as whether we should keep military forces past the 31st.
Secretary Austin, was anybody asked before August 25th if we should keep troops at the Kabul airport?
This is the president tasked us to provide an assessment on whether or not we should extend our presence beyond August 31st. And as General Milley just said, that assessment was made. We tasked him to make that assessment on the 25th. And he came back and provided his best military advice.
Secretary, Kabul fell on August 15th. It was clear that we had thousands of Americans. It was clear to members of this committee who were getting phone calls that we had thousands of Americans in Afghanistan behind Taliban lines on August 15th. And it took 10 days to ask these general officers if we should extend our presence. I suspect the answer might be a little different if you were asking them 16 days out, not 5 days out. Again, my time is limited. I want to move on to another matter. President Biden's botched evacuation screwed things up coming and going as it relates to Afghan evacuees. We left behind thousands of Afghans who served alongside of us who were vetted and approved to come here. We brought out thousands who really have no particular connection, about whom we know nothing, and cannot be effectively vetted. You now have female troops who have been assaulted. You have Afghan evacuees committing sex crimes at Fort McCoy. What are we to make of this? What steps are we taking to ensure that thousands of Afghans, about whom we know nothing, are not going to be a menace to our troops at our military bases and to the communities into which they're about to be released?
Well, Senator, I'm certainly aware of the allegations, and I take the allegations very seriously. And I can assure you that our commanders at our bases have what they need to be able to protect our troops and our families that work and live at those bases. And I'm in contact with General Van Hert, the NORTHCOM commander, who has overall responsibility for the operation on a routine basis. And this is an area that he remains sighted on.
All right. I've just got one final question. General Milley, I can only conclude that your advice about staying in Afghanistan was rejected. I'm shocked to learn that your advice wasn't sought until August 25th on staying past the August 31 deadline. I understand that you're the principal military advisor, that you advise, you don't decide, the president decides. But if all this is true, General Milley, why haven't you resigned?
Senator, as a senior military officer, resigning is a really serious thing. It's a political act if I'm resigning in protest. My job is to provide advice. My statutory responsibility is to provide legal advice or best military advice to the president, and that's my legal requirement. That's what the law is. The president doesn't have to agree with that advice. He doesn't have to make those decisions just because we're generals. And it would be an incredible act of political defiance for a commissioned officer to just resign because my advice is not taken. This country doesn't want generals figuring out what orders we are going to accept and do or not. That's not our job. The principle of civilian control of the military is absolute. It's critical to this republic. In addition to that, just from a personal standpoint, you know, my dad didn't get a choice to resign at Iwo Jima. And those kids that are at Abbey Gate, they don't get a choice to resign. And I'm not going to turn my back on them. I'm not going to resign. They can't resign, so I'm not going to resign. There's no way. If the orders are illegal, we're in a different place. But if the orders are legal from civilian authority, I intend to carry them out.
Oh, that says something. When the general says he will carry out an order that may not be right, may not be good, may not be moral, but as long as they're ordered, they're not, and they are lawful orders. I don't know. That just doesn't sound good in my book. I'm trying to keep up on things, and some of these things just continue to shock me. I hope to God that somebody can tell the truth. Somebody can keep telling the truth. It's crazy. Let's keep going. The Free Beacon this morning, they put out an article, College Democrats Leader Under Fire for Anti-Semitic Tweets. Now, when I saw that, actually this came out yesterday, when I saw this, I'm thinking, okay, are we talking about a Muslim Democratic leader? Well, yes, we are. Nurhan Mesbah, the head of the College Democrats of America. She is, again, the head of this. She's a leader facing pressure to resign after her anti-Semitic tweet surfaced. This article came out in Washington Free Beacon yesterday, and it was written by Alex Nestor. He writes, just one day before Nurhan Mesbah was elected vice president of the College Democrats Executive Board, the National Student Club's Jewish Caucus released a screenshot of a 2016 tweet where she blamed Jews for sabotaging Hillary Clinton in debate against Donald Trump. I blame the debate on the Yahud, Mesbah tweeted. Yahud is the Arabic word for Jews. In her tweet, Mesbah tagged Dima Jubara, an acquaintance with a long history of anti-Semitic statements, including one 2016 tweet where she prayed that God would kill the Jews. The College Democrats of America Jewish Caucus called on Mesbah to drop out of the race and resign. The College Democrats of America Jewish Caucus called on Mesbah to drop out of the race and resign from the organization. College Democrats chapter of George Washington University and American University echoed calls for Mesbah's resignation and threatened to withdraw from the national organization if it fails to address anti-Semitism in its ranks. Anti-Semitism is on the rise in the Democratic Party. Representative Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and other left-wing members of the Democratic Party are quick to address instances of hatred towards minority groups, what are they talking about, generally, Islam, followers of Islam, but have largely ignored hate crimes against Jews, which are far more frequent than they are against Islam. But again, that is to be expected. And I'll say this again, it is to be expected. Why? Because the KKK, which was the military wing of the Democratic Party, formed about 100 years ago for the purpose, a little more than 100 years ago, 150 years ago now, for the purpose of going after Jews and minority people. Okay. Anybody that was darker than the whitest white guy there, that's what I'm talking about. That's what they were going after. So you can't expect them to think nice things and act nice. That's just the way of the Democratic Party. This is the sad, sorry truth. Now, there are as many, many other news articles, and I'm only going to be able to get a few out because I do not – I'm just kind of spent again. All right. Let me tell you this one. This comes from a suicide bomber who killed at least 8 in Somalia. The attack targeting a convoy going into presidential palace is claimed by the armed group Al-Shabaab. Now, there's another news story about Al-Shabaab we'll get into if I can figure out where I filed it away. A suicide, this came out the 25th, a suicide from Al Jazeera of all places, a suicide car bomb blast has killed at least 8 people at a security checkpoint near the presidential palace in Somalia in an attack claimed by the Al-Qaeda-linked Al-Shabaab group. The checkpoint falls on the route to the airport in Mogadishu, used by Somalia's president and prime minister. Police spokesman Abdi Fattah Aden Hassan told reporters at the scene the number of casualties in Saturday's attack could be higher as some of the dead and wounded were taken away by relatives after the attack targeting a convoy going into the palace. Al-Shabaab is behind the blast. That killed eight people, including a soldier and a mother and 2 children. Al-Shabaab massacres civilians, he said. This is the truth about terrorism. They don't care who they're killing. And all that matters to Islamic jihadis is that they kill a non-believer. They don't care if they would kill other Muslims. It's just you have to include a non-Muslim in there. And they're okay with that. This is actually taught in Sharia, where this stuff is acceptable. It sounds horrid. It sounds ridiculous. And, you know, my suggestion is if you're having a hard time with these statements, pick up my book, The Cancer of Civilization Jihad. There is a chapter in there on jihad. My suggestion is you do not read that without covering the chapter on hate first. These things are important. They are real. Some of these things are so horrific, it's just hard to accept, hard to believe. And I'm not saying any, again, some of this stuff is just hard to believe. This week in Netherlands, Mark Rutte wrote an article, police arrest politician over suspected plot to murder the prime minister. This was in the BBC. It came out 2 days ago. Dutch police have arrested a politician in The Hague on suspicion of involvement in a plot to assassinate the prime minister, Mark Rutte. The prime minister's security service said Arnoud van Doorn, the leader of the Hague Unity Party, was arrested on Sunday. He displayed suspicious behavior as he walked through the same area. He displayed suspicious behavior as he walked through the same area of the city as Mr. Rutte. Mr. Van Doorn was released on Monday after a police interrogation. His lawyer, Anis Bamuljan, told the BBC he should not have been arrested because there was no reasonable suspicion of guilt. The arrest was reported on Tuesday, a day after Dutch media said Mr. Rutte had been given an extra security over fears that he may be the target of an attack or kidnapping by a criminal gang. Mr. Rutte, who is 54 years old, has been followed by the so-called spotters linked to a drug trafficking gang that Del Telegraph newspaper reported on Monday. Telegraph journalist Mick Van Velli told broadcasters NOS the matter was being taken very seriously. NOS confirmed the report, but Dutch security authorities and the prime minister declined to comment. outside Parliament on Monday as he arrived for coalition talks. Mr. Rutt told journalists safety and precaution are issues never to be discussed in public. Prosecutors in The Hague confirmed the arrest of Mr. Van Doorn to Dutch media and said an investigation was still ongoing. A spokesperson said there was suspicion that Mr. Van Doorn was trying to gather information for preparation of attempted murder. Prior to his arrest, Mr. Van Doorn had been in The Hague for about an hour, his lawyer said. He said Mr. Van Doorn had a coffee and cafe at a cafe and made some inquiries at a fitness center. Now, what they're not talking about is Mr. Van Doorn's conversion to Islam. Yeah. Keeping things quiet. That's what the BBC is good at. Don't tell them. This is just crazy. I mean, you start listening to some of this stuff, you start reading some of these things, you're just like, how can this be? How can this be? But that is the actual facts and truth. I do want to get into persecution of Christians. This article came out by the International Christian Concern Organization. You can find it at persecution.org. This is about Pakistan. In recent months, a disturbing spike in sexual assaults against Christian women and girls in Pakistan has been documented by the International Christian Concern Organization. In July and August alone, ICC discovered 12 incidents in which Christian women or girls were sexually assaulted or abducted, forcefully converted to Islam, and forcefully married to one of their abductors. In Pakistan, Christian women and girls are doubly vulnerable to persecution. This is due to both their religious identity as Christians and their gender. Below is a summary of incidents of persecution documents by ICC in the months of July and August of 2021. On July 5th, Muhammad Akbar, a Muslim man, filed a police report against Shamim Bibi, a Christian mother of five, claiming that Shamim had converted to Islam and married him. Muhammad filed the report despite Shamim living with her Christian family in the district of Sheikhupura. Shamim refused the allegation and reported that Akbar was attempting to forcibly convert her to Islam. On July 7th, Alicia, a 9-year-old Christian girl and resident of St. Paul Christian Colony in Hyderabad, was raped by a 45-year-old man named Babur. On the day of incident, Alicia was alone in her house where Babur forcibly was alone in her house when Babur forcibly entered the home, beat Alicia and raped her. On July 18th, age 18, was abducted in front of her parents by Muhammad Ramzan and forcibly converted to Islam in Sangla Hill. The family continues to fight Ramzan to recover custody of their abducted daughter. Yeah, they're fighting in court to get their daughter back. This says something. This is just crazy. I mean, again, it's hard to think of these things happening in Western civilization, but they happen all too frequently in Islamic countries. I warn people about the dangers of Islam. I've written about it. I do everything I can to get these truths out. Now, President Biden brought 100,000 followers of Islam here to the United States. 100,000. And he actually proposed raising that number. I want you to think about this. He wants 100,000. He actually has said he wants 125,000 refugees coming to the country every year. That number was lower than, I think it was about 10,000 to 15,000 at before Biden. So that's something to think about, that huge, massive increase. And who are they allowing to come here? We do know that under the Biden administration and under Obama that they refused to allow Christians to come to the country. That those were the people who were denied access to the planes to come to the United States. They would be a persecuted people, which would make them fit the definition of refugee if they were outside the country. Now, the people who came here were lovers of Sharia. Lovers of Sharia allows for child marriage. And this is the stuff that you keep hearing about. I'm going to go back to that article, and you keep hearing this. kind of age 16, abducted at gunpoint, raped while her parents were at work. Abru, age 18, abducted by a Muslim man when she was on her way to work. Police managed to find her the next day by tracking her phone. Cashman, age 14, abducted in Flashabad. A few days later, the abductor sent a family a video documents claiming Cashman had converted to Islam of her own free will. So they're trying to make her... I mean, are you catching this? They're constantly... This is happening almost daily in Pakistan, a Muslim country. And this news is at least getting out to Christian sources. But you start thinking about if this is happening wherever Muslims are predominant, what will happen in those areas that are now Muslim? This is crazy. This is an unfortunate truth. They're horrific things, people. I have written about enough, and it just it does make you sick when you start to think about it. Again, I'm going to say, please, if you really want to know more, my best suggestion is to support my work by buying my books on Amazon.com or going through my website, paulsutliff.blogspot.com. There's a place where you can order books there. Some of this stuff I keep saying is shocking, horrifying. It's just unbelievable. Now, let's read another article about child marriage that comes from Egypt. Again, shocking, horrifying, truth-telling. And I wish these things were not true. I really do. But they are factual. Yeah. And let me just pull this one up. It did not pop up for some reason. Just a second. Joy of joys. Let's try this one more time. And here we go. This comes from our Al Arabiya News. Okay. A 12. Listen to this. I mean, I've been talking about this issue about child marriage. Parents of newly engaged 11-year-old bride to 12-year-old groom are arrested in Egypt. Security forces in Egypt's Giza have parents of an 11-year-old bride-to-be and a 12-year-old groom-to-be an hour after announcing their engagement. The engagement party for the two children took place in a village just 30 kilometers from Cairo. Celebration held by the two families was cut short after the jewelry shop that the newlyweds' parents bought gold from for posted photos on Facebook. This led to security forces tracking down. At least in Egypt, they're starting to stop this information. But in Pakistan, they just had a choice to outlaw child marriage. And they decided that that would be against Sharia, which is truthful. It is against Sharia. So they have decided because it would violate, you know, it would basically call their prophet a pedophile. And they can't have that. So they did not outlaw child marriage. Well, and there's no minimum age for marriage. That's something to consider. And part of the reasoning is, again, that Muhammad did marry a six-year-old and did bed her at the age of nine. If you go back, again, I'm going to recommend that you do go in and read my book, The Cancer of Civilization Jihad. Find the facts for yourself. Buy a book called Reliance of the Traveler. That is Sharia, written in English, approved by organizations like ISNA, the International Institute of Islamic Thought, and many other Muslim organizations. This translation of Sharia is highly approved. Now, I recommend that you read it cover to cover. You're going to want to take small doses of it because it will not only blow your mind, it'll horrify you. This is crazy. It's just mind-numbing when you start to read this. I'm going to shut down a little bit early just because I am still tired. I'm still recovering from this surgery. I didn't expect to be so tired from this. And it's taken a lot out of me, which still kind of surprises me. But I'm going to tell you, people, you need to pay attention to what's happening around you. You need to be able to stand up. You need to be able to get out there and get to the truth. I'm going to be at the Iron Sharpens Iron Conference in Rochester, New York. I'm going to have a table there. If you can be there, if you can help by supporting me, and I say buy my books, they're on Amazon. The truth is out there, people. My job, I think, right now is just sharing the truth with you, getting those facts to you. Fighting to get the truth to you is all important. Can we do this? Can we get the truth out? This is all important. We have to be fighting to get the truth out. Some of these things are too shocking to believe. If that's the truth for you, that it's too shocking, go find out if what I'm telling you is true. Do your own research. Your eyes will be opened in ways that none of us would like to see. I'm just going to close out and say goodbye to the people listening on Facebook. And I'm going to go on and play courtesy of the red, white, and blue for those who are listening on BTR. One of the things I can say with courtesy of the red, white, and blue, these songs, I love patriotic music. I never thought I would be a great lover of country music until I've listened to some great patriotic songs. And Toby Keith's piece, you know, courtesy of the red, white, and blue, just hits me every time. So here we go.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see your glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here. When you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue. Sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. Cause we'll put a boot in your ass, it's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be hell when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell. And it'll feel like the whole wide world is ringing.